Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a familiar passage. We studied it in Sunday school. Pastor led us through this, starting in verse 22 of Luke 2 a couple weeks ago. And I am going to read through verse 35. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now are you letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Our Father, we pray that you would guide your word today, this great day that you have made. Bless it to us. Allow the truth to be accurately presented, that you would take glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, by 1861, had become to America's mind their poet. He had recently written Paul Revere's Ride, which stirred many in the North for the oncoming Civil War. But tragedy fell within a couple of years. His wife Fanny died in a fire accident in their Cambridge home in 1861, and by 1863, his eldest son Charlie, fighting for the Union, was shot in a battle in Virginia, and the earliest telegram reports were seriously and possibly paralysis. It was in light of these tragedies that he stopped writing poetry, but on Christmas Day in 1864, he penned the lines to this hymn. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep." I'm sorry, I skipped one. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime. of peace on earth. Goodwill to men. What Longfellow experienced is what actually most Christians experience in their life. That an idyllic Christmas card Christmas isn't always the result. In fact, the reason Christ came was because it can't be of ourselves. What I want to do is I'm going to step through our passage in Luke 2, because the Simeon passage also tells us that the idyllic Christ presentation in the temple feels Hallmark Christmas card-esque until you get to the last two verses of what we read. Follow with me quickly. If you have an insert, it's okay. It's just a series of words, one word per each verse. If you don't have it, it's okay. I'll point out the word I want us to look at to build to verse 34 and 35. Time, verse 22. It was time to now come to the temple to present the child. But the time had to wait for Mary's purification. There are some that would believe that Mary needs no purification, but she did. The time had passed. Pastor was wonderfully exegeting the fact that Simeon was waiting and waiting and waiting as the time passed. Mary had to wait 40 days before she could come to present her son to the Lord. Simeon was waiting a very long time. We actually don't really know how long he waited. We knew he was of an aged time, but we don't really know. Imagine if the Holy Spirit had told you, you're not going to see death until you see the Christ child. Imagine what his conversations with his wife would have been like over certain activities. And she's cautioning him, hey, be careful. Well, why? I haven't seen Christ yet. I'll be okay. I mean, it's just an interesting way to live, right? I'm not going to see death until I see this child. Time. How do you pass time? Who are you waiting for? Or do you think you have tons of time until you have to deal with that question? Law, verse 23. This waiting for Mary's purification, the circumcision presentation, the presenting of the firstborn, all was pointing to a law that had to be followed. It still had to be followed. It had to be followed for the Christ child. It had to be followed for the parents and those associated with the Christ child. Everything was based on God's law, his edict. Do you understand how Christ perfectly fulfills every jot and tittle of the law? Sacrifice, verse 24. We see a sacrifice was required for the presentation. The option was actually turtle doves for those that were poor. And Mary and Joseph were poor. If you're wondering about the wise men and the gold and the frankincense and myrrh, that probably happens when they are in a house, it says later in our passages. And it's probably when he's about 2 years old. It's not now. They don't have the gold yet. They can't afford the lamb or a bull or an ox or any of that. They can only afford turtle dove. Christ would be the sacrifice for the lowliest of people. A sacrifice is required. And they can come, but you have to get through the sacrifice. But there would be an ultimate sacrifice by which all those coming come before God, where the veil is completely rent. So we now boldly come to Christ. Do you understand the law's need of a sacrifice? Then we get to Simeon, verse 25. Devout is how he is described. This word means careful. The law, the time, the word from the Spirit that he was told, he was careful. He was fastidious. He was paying attention. We have no idea how he knew where to be at the temple at the time. The courtyard where only the women could be, because that's where Mary would have been. We have no idea how he would have known, other than the Spirit says, move, go, stop. He's coming. Devout. What's your devotion? What's your level of being devout? See, verse 26. The prophecy to Simeon was that he would not see death until he saw the Christ child. Do you have seeing in that order? Christ first, before death. Do you have the vision of seeing Christ first, his salvation first, before death? That's Simeon. That's what he had. That's a message to us all. See him before death. You don't know what time you have. Verse 27. This is fascinating. It's Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who led this whole affair. Understand, Christ is an infant. For him to perfectly obey every jot and tittle of the law meant the third person of the Trinity had to lead and guide the whole entourage to do what had to be done. Jesus entrusted himself to the second person of the Trinity immediately upon leaving his throne and condescending. Remember Jesus being led into the wilderness? By the Spirit, to be tempted. Every part of his earthly life, he was led by the Spirit. Then he flipped it and he sent it back to us. He sent the Spirit back to us so we could walk and we could work and we could live and we could be devout and we could wait in time. We could see the sacrifice. Are you so led by the Spirit? Blessed, verse 28. It says, Simeon blessed God. That kind of rubs us wrong a little bit, doesn't it? God blesses us. How do we bless God? The Psalms speak the same way, by the way. Blessing is the channel between God and man. He blesses us. We bless him in praise. That's how we return. We bless, we honor by turning to him and giving thanks. As Johnny gave thanks this morning to a wonderful, eye-watering workday in an emergency. We bless our Lord. Depart, verse 29. Simeon could depart. This word is charged with the fact that he now knows. He could just take me, Lord. Take me. I've seen the Christ. I've seen his glory. We're made to see that. When we see our Savior in the Scriptures, when we taste of him, especially when we taste of him together, we're made to feel to depart and be with you, Lord, would be so much better. We're made to see that. We're made to feel that. But if God so wills, we will remain. Salvation, verse 30, if it wasn't clear enough, seeing and leading and departing of Simeon's Christmas was ultimately a matter of salvation, and he knew it. And he knew it was not salvation just for himself. It was a great salvation. It was a wonderful salvation where Gentile and Jew in one salvation. 31, prepared. He says that you have prepared. This is the salvation, God, that you have prepared. It's as if he is like Paul being able to write the beginning of his letters just saying, this is all being predestined before the foundations of the earth, and I see it. He could see it. It was the Savior sovereignly appointing the entire thing. It was prepared. It's all been done. Light. Verse 32, light. We have light. There's a lot of places we could go with that word light. But what I want to focus on is the fact that light pierces darkness. Darkness cannot, John 1 says, overcome or withstand the light. It cannot. Light was made to pierce every bit of darkness and expose. Pierce to reveal what's there. And then we get the what would be the close of the idyllic scene in verse 33 with marvel. This is where we've already had Mary have the Magnificat and wonder and ponder in her heart all these wonderful things. And we get to marvel, and it's where Joseph and Mary together are marveling at what Simeon has just said. He has just preached a sermon, and they are recipients of that sermon, and they're glorying in what they see. Together, the couple marvels at their son, at a saint, an Old Testament saint, just devout. He's not a priest. He's nobody special. He's just led by the Spirit. Do you marvel at this salvation? Now, as I've said, you could take this scene and you could stop there and you could go, this is wonderful, this is picturesque, we can do Christmas cantatas, we can get the choirs, we can just say everything. Sacrifice felt like just a little bit of a bump of a negative, and we're good. We can wrap this all up and tighten the bow. And then Simeon points directly at Mary and gives words that are meant to be more than just for Mary. Two more words: opposed and pierce. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel for a sign that is opposed. Yes, he will rise. He will raise those with Israel. There will be a remnant, devout, like Simeon, coming out of Israel. And for the Gentiles, light revealed, there will be some. There will be many that say, that cling to Jesus' words on earth and say, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. They don't understand it all, but they're going to be led, and they're going to stay, and they're going to stay with him. But for many, there would be a fall. And Mary needed to know that. Mary needed to know that when opposition was going to come, she could look back on this message from Simeon and say, oh, my son's going through it. Boy, he's really going through it. Whoa, he's weeping. Oh. It's one of the hardest things as a parent to watch your kids suffer. It's one of the hardest things to watch your kids go through it and feel like you can't do anything about it. She needed to know he would be opposed. You mention the name of Jesus. It's kind of like the scene in Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Aslan is mentioned at the table, and the three kids that are basically regenerate, Aslan lights them up and warms them like a fresh summer breeze. And the one, Edmund, who was wandering, felt a chill go over him. The name of Christ will be opposed. And it's opposed by many. And there's darkness there in that opposition. But such were some of you. And such, that's how I was. That's how we all were at one point. And the light pierces it. The last word is pierce. Now this pierce is twofold. It's the fact that Mary would have a sword piercer. The word says, and a sword, he's speaking specifically to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. What's the piercing? The piercing is the ultimate suffering. It's the crucifixion. It's the passion. It's what she witnessed with her eyes. We saw her at the cross. She was there. She watched her son die, breathe his last breath. That's a woman watching her son suffer and die. Don't miss that. But don't miss that that's the one thing that conquers all darkness. Hallelujah. That's the one thing that shines the light in the darkest places and lights and inflames those who need saved and rescued from this planet of darkness. That one event does it. It will be opposed, but that's salvation. The light is meant to pierce the hearts and reveal the hearts of many. What are our hearts by ourselves? They're dead. They're cold. They can't do it. But it's like a surgeon when the light finally, open heart surgery, cuts. Just think the light is now the scalpel. It opens. The heart has never seen light before when a surgeon first has open heart surgery. It's never been exposed to light. And that surgeon gets that heart working again. That light comes in and makes that heart alive. That's our Savior. That's the piercing of the heart. That's what Longfellow understood when he finally said, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. He was able to say, I'm going through it, but there really is a Christmas day. I can still hear the bells ringing, singing. This is my Savior. Know Him today. It's a great day to know Him and see the light. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Simeon, who's nobody special. Lord, neither are we. Help us to be led by Your Spirit, to be devout for the first time, perhaps. Would the light penetrate and pierce our hearts? In Jesus' name.